Hello and welcome to PeopleCert Q1 2025 results. My name is Laura, and I will be your coordinator for today's event. Please note this call is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen-only mode. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the call. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your question. If you require assistance at any point, please press star zero, and you will be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, the founder and CEO, Mr. Byron Nicolaides, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Hello everyone. I'm Byron, and together with me is George, our CFO, and Petros, our VP of Corporate Development. For the presentation of today, we're moving to slide number five. This so far has been a difficult quarter. Our revenue in Q1 is at 24 million pounds. It's minus 20% versus Q1 2024. I'll come on the reasons of this. LTM March 2025 at 115 million, which is minus 5% versus LTM December 2024. The EBITDA of Q1 is at 12 million, minus 35% versus Q1 2024. The adjusted EBITDA LTM March 2025 at 63 million, minus 10% versus LTM December 2024. The margin is at 52% versus 55% compared to LTM December 2024. The net debt is at 145 million. Cash position is 105 million versus 106 million as of December 31st, 2024. Net debt to EBITDA is at 2.3 times versus 2.04 versus December 2024. It's worth noting on net debt that on Q1 we had the payment of the interest of the bond, as well as approximately 6 million of dividend for this year, as it was for the previous year. This leads to this number. In 2024, we had headwinds, and primarily this is because of the political uncertainty and tariffs. Our business is to a great extent based on corporate decisions, and corporates during this Q1, they slowed their orders because there is no visibility. Some big consulting companies, primarily U.S. and the rest of the world, they had their contracts being initially canceled, then partly reinstated with the U.K. government, with the U.S. government, excuse me. This created a delay. The second point is that there is, again, on our languages business, globally, there is a decline on languages, and this can be seen in all the market on the migration. Compared with the very strong Q1 2024 performance, because in particular, U.K. had announced early last year that as of April, the migration rules are going to change. This had a significant impact on Q1 of 2024 being particularly strong. The migration market globally right now is under pressure. The third point is that because we had price increases in 2025, some of our clients, they decided to buy some of their business, some of their certifications in December 2024. This has also had an impact on our business. Two points on this one. The first one is that we have somehow expecting this. So it was in our budget, and we are not doing badly according our budget, but according to last year, we're 20% down. Of course, we see month-on-month improvement. February was better than January, March better than February, and we can see also April and May are also further improving. We continue to make investments in new products and updates, and some of them are going to be launched in Q2 2025. The membership subscription revenue is growing again year on year by 140%. And also our costs in Q1 2025 are aligned with our budget. This is on slide 5, and glad to answer any questions around this at the end of the presentation. Now moving to slide 6, it's the classical slide with the business highlights, and this is the same slide every month. On the right side, the revenue LTM is £150 million, adjusted EBITDA is £63 million, margin at 52%, cash flow conversion at 85%, and as we pointed earlier, the net debt to EBITDA at 2.3 times. You can see the breakdown further down by product, by business line, by geography, and by channel. Not big changes than the previous quarter. Although on slide 7, you can see in Q1 2025 there is further increase on other products and other business lines that we've created the last years, and the exams, instead of 58%, they're going down 54%. This is because the other lines are performing better, and in particular you can see the membership, which is doing significantly better this year, and this is something that's going to impact our revenue long term. Moving to slide number 8, you can see the deleveraging. Of course, there was an uptick in March 25 from 2.04 times net debt to EBITDA to 2.3 times. And as mentioned earlier, this is due to some payments, approximately 15 million, George can be more precise, which is the interest payment of the bond, as well as some dividend payments. This concludes my part of the presentation, and then for more financials, I'm passing it to George. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. We are continuing our presentation on slide number 10. As you can see, our revenue LTM March 25 is at 115 million. There is an impact from the weaker than previous year first quarter. So we have a negative impact in our LTM. Our profitability remains strong, above 60 million, with a margin in the range of 52%. It's similar to 23, more or less. Our CapEx is stable and in line with the historical numbers at 9 million. The combination of the above mentioned is that we have a strong cash generation. Our LTM free cash flow is at 54 million. With an EBITDA to cash conversion of 85%. So all in all, and despite the weaker Q1 of this year, the financial profile of the organization remains strong and stable, with strong profitability and strong cash generation. In the next slide, number 11, we have the gross debt and net debt and leverage ratios, similar to the slide we saw earlier with the historical evolution of our deleveraging. In the next three slides, 12, 13, and 14, we have the profit and loss account, the balance sheet, and the cash flow. Of course, we have a detailed analysis in the press release in our investor relations area in our website. This concludes our presentation, and we are ready to proceed to the Q&A section. Thank you all.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal for questions. Thank you. We will now take our first question from Amarjit Pawar of Fidelity International. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's actually Christian Bild, but Fidelity. Thanks very much for taking the question. Maybe first question is on the three headwinds that you've outlined. If you could just let us know which one has been the most significant. I'm wondering also with respect to the budget, you said it's been in line with the budget. I mean, obviously, we didn't know really about tariffs and political uncertainty way in advance. This really hit Q2, I guess, more than Q1. I'm wondering whether that still persists. You also mentioned month-on-month improvements. Are we looking at trends getting positive? Are you still expecting positive growth for the year? Then I have a couple of follow-ups after that as well, but maybe let's start with that.
Okay. The one and two are the most important, because the one, we'll know that the political situation creates questions to the corporates primarily. So it's like one day, one week is more positive, the other way is more negative. I think it will take some time to stabilize for the orders. The decline in migration on languages, again, this is something that we can see, especially Chinese, some extent the Indians. The UK has put significant stops on migration, and we see in Canada, in Australia as well. So, unfortunately, those two, at least for 1-2 quarters, until there is hopefully a stabilization, we have to live with this. Now, on your follow-up question, we anticipate this a little bit because of the fear and the pull forward as well, and we had Q1 with a very conservative budget. This does not mean much, but it shows at least that we know that what we are expecting. And we can see month after month that there is some type of stabilization. For year end, it's early to give a prediction for now for Q2, but we are on top of this. We expect, let's say that we expect Q2 to be better than Q1.
Okay. And what was the amount of the price increase?
5%.
And where did you
actually? On the average, was on it the 5%.
5% increase across the product range?
More or less, yes. It may be a little bit different because of currencies, et cetera, but more or less, yes.
Okay, and just quickly on the cost base, you said it's aligned with the budget. Can you just provide a little bit more detail what you achieved in terms of cost reductions, or is it just lower increase in costs, or how would you define alignment with the budget here?
We are, as you know, and it's obvious from our profitability, that we're very much cost conscious, and there are cost cutting measures in place. Those are both on the personnel as well on others, and we are using more and more the AI, and we see results, concrete results on this one. But at the same time, we are preserving things that are important because we don't want to cut the costs over too much, and then if there is a reversal, to be caught by surprise.
Right. And last question from my side on the dividend. So it's been just above 5 million. Do you expect additional dividend payments for the year, or is that the main? Or is that the dividend payment to be expected?
It's people that has had always a conservative policy on dividends. You can see it in the last 4 years. We don't expect this to change. Now, whether it's going to be another one, it's early to judge.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we'll pause for a further moment. Thank you. There are no further questions coming through. I will now hand it back to Mr. Nikolaides for closing remarks.
Thank you very much all for attending. And if we don't speak again, I wish to all you a good summer. Hopefully things are going to be better next quarter. Thank you.